and welcome. This is Puffcast episode 46. We are having a bit of a different approach this week, how we are presenting to you our episodes, because we have a Fantastic Beasts 3 trailer. Yay! We are so excited. We wanted to share with you our thoughts, comments, theories, anything that comes to mind about the trailer that we all have been waiting for so long. So this week is going to be a little bit different. A couple of days ago, we got a teaser trailer for Fantastic Beasts. We actually discussed these roughly 30-second trailer teaser in our actual episode, but only these 30 seconds already took us about an hour to record. Because we really went into every detail, and it just so happened that the day after our official recording day, the full trailer came out, and we just wanted to put it all together so it's not so out of place in the actual episode. Juliana and me won't have time to record together for the next couple weeks. Therefore, I am going to give you first, the small review of us talking about the teaser, and after that, the comments from me about the full trailer, and a section for Juliana where she's giving you her comments. So it's a little bit different, a little bit separate. I might actually throw some random comments over Juliana's recording also to maybe add something. So something in addition that I still wanted to mention is that throughout this episode, we are trying to figure out what the beasts are, and there are two in particular that we were not very sure about. So now, thanks to the Protego Foundation that I have to give credit to, I was able to find out that the big winged beast that is holding someone in its tail, captured in its tail, seems to be a Snellygaster. Props to you guys to be so quick on the uptake. I will let you know what a Snellygaster is. It is native to North America. The part bird, part reptile Snellygaster was once believed to be a kind of dragon, but is now known to be a distant relative of the Occami. It cannot breathe fire, but possesses fangs of serrated steel with which it slices through its prey. So this is actually quite a dangerous creature. It has been causing a lot of trouble. It's naturally very curious, coupled with a bulletproof hide. It renders to be difficult to scare away, and the Snellygaster has found its way into Muggle newspapers with such frequency that it sometimes ties with the Loch Ness Monster for most publicity-hungry beasts. So dangerous but sweet. So that is the Snellygaster. And then we have the little, now starting to be infamous, Juliana's named firebutt crabs that Newt and Theseus encounter in the trailer. The guys from the Protego Foundation thought it was maybe a shiz purfle. When we looked this up, I think we came to the conclusion that they are described as very, very tiny. So the ones that we see actually in the trailer seem very big compared to the description of the shiz purfle. So maybe that's not it. So this is still having a big question mark, at least in everyone else's mind, not in Juliana's, but in everyone else's mind. So I guess we still have to find out. So if you hear us later on in the episode talk about it, keep that in mind. Yeah, this should be interesting. This should be really fun. We are both super excited, and we hope that you are too. If not, that's completely fine. Just skip over this one and wait for the episode which is coming on the 22nd. Of December, so 2 days before Christmas. We understand that not everyone is excited about Fantastic Beasts. There has been a lot of controversial things around the cast and around the author. We want to separate ourselves from that. Just enjoy the actual stories and support the great actors that are in there that absolutely deserve our love and our support. And that's what we are here for. So you can choose, listen to our our excitement and our comments, or just skip this one. No one will be mad at you. It's completely fine. All right, with that, we will jump into our little review of the teaser first. Here we go. So we did get a small teaser here.
Yeah, Mel and I are big Fantastic Beasts fans. We've made this known many times, and we have feelings already about what we've seen. And like Mel and I have talked about, there's a lot that happens in this just like under a minute.
Yeah.
It's like literally 30 seconds. I'm looking at it right now. It's like literally 30 seconds worth of footage. There is so much shoved into this 30 seconds that Mel and I, knowing that we're going to get at least like a minute or two's worth of footage, which seems insane that we would be like, I'm going to talk forever about a minute or two. It's like, no, we will.
Prior to our recording today, I was asked, so these 30 seconds you're gonna discuss, how long of a recording will that be? And I said, oh, 2 hours. There's just so much in there. So we will definitely have a very close look at this teaser. Maybe you should check out our Instagram as well. There probably has been some stories and stuff happening, maybe some reels that you can still watch later.
Oh, that's a good idea. I should just record it. Yeah, record yourself as a live Mel, and then we can save it as a reel on our Instagram. Yeah. Maybe I'll do that too.
Yeah.
Are you ready, Mel? I'm very excited. I've seen this twice already. I've seen many a screen grab.
There's lots of small details in this that could be important, that could tell us something more. Maybe they are just like random things that will not matter. You never know with these trailers. But maybe we have a first look at it and then go into detail.
Yes.
All right.
Wow. So, I'm so excited. We get Credence with long hair. We have Jacob with a wand. We have Jessica Williams playing an unnamed Ilvermorny professor. We have Dumbledore spiraling off into that thing.
Didn't she have already a name? Wait a moment. Didn't she have a name?
Oh, she does. You're right. We learned her name in the book that she's in Crimes of Grindelwald. Oh, Eulalie Hicks.
Yes.
Shame on me as a Fantastic Beasts fan.
I'm very bad with names, though, so I...
Jessica Williams as Eulalie Hicks, who I, aside from her being part of the show, Jessica Williams is a hilarious comedian and highly recommend going and consuming her content. But yeah, we have so many things going on. Well, let's get rid of the elephant in the room, Mel.
Yeah.
They're not in Brazil.
Doesn't seem like it.
There's no way any of that's in Brazil. I'm really sorry, but there's no way.
There is a small scene, though, where I have already an idea that it might be Germany.
You know, see, that makes the most sense. Either, like, Germany or, like, Bulgaria or something. Because isn't Grindelwald from somewhere up there? Where is he from?
Well, we know that Nuremberg is in Austria.
Austria, yes. So that makes sense. Because Austria, Germany, like, all those countries are kind of in the same little area.
So I would assume that he is from there. We might still find out. I think it was never specifically said where exactly he came from, just where he went to school, and that was Durmstrang.
You know, so since they are kind of playing into the World War II parallels here, I definitely could see them having him be from Germany, like, because he's kind of like the Wizard Hitler right now.
Then he would be originally from Austria, turned into a German, because Hitler was Austrian.
Oh, okay. Well, then that makes sense. This all checks out.
Then he became a German, and then this whole thing happened.
Wizard Hitler it is. It is now canon.
We definitely get lots of first looks. One is Eulalie.
Eulalie Hicks.
Eulalie. I'm trying to find the right pronunciation here. And our new Grindelwald also.
Yeah.
Which I'm actually really excited for. I'm sure he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
I still wonder if there is going to be any explanation as to why he looks different, or if they just let it be as it is and don't even mention it.
I don't think someone told me that. I think this is just my inner inkling. I don't feel like they're going to really explain it much. Or they maybe like drop, like, I could see them like dropping like one line about, I don't know. Maybe I imagine that Dumbledore walks by him and he's like, your hair looks different. Or something like that, where it's like this one of the other characters is acknowledging that there was a change in appearance, but nothing like, wow, you're a separate person. It's like, wow, did you get a haircut? Yeah, you look different to me. I wonder why. First off, obviously, we start with Hogwarts.
Hogwarts looks perfect as always.
Yes, it looks lovely. I like the little broop thing that we get as we go through the window.
So we are basically back where we ended with the second movie, where we see them all standing on the bridge of Hogwarts. Now we see them walking the halls of Hogwarts. And there we have...
With Jacob.
Yes, with Jacob, with Eulalie, with Newt, and with Theseus. when we look at Jacob, how he walks through the halls, he's like, wow, where am I? Do you think he has a different view of things while he's walking through there, or is he seeing what they see? He's a muggle, and
he's not supposed to see anything. He's not even he's supposed to have turned around. I'm wondering, I'm really hoping, for the sake of the fandom and for the sake of Warner Brothers' own sanity, that they explained why Jacob can see Hogwarts and why he, like, even if Dumbledore walked up to him and was just like, whoop, I lift the enchantment from you. Just, like, something to give us people who are going to criticize Warner Brothers for their lack of not explaining it. The fandom is going to come for them if they don't. That's probably the easiest way to explain it, honestly.
Yeah, it would be a really weird trip for him if he would just see ruins everywhere and he's like, are you sure we can walk here? What door are you talking about? There's nothing.
Yeah, I can only see that being the explanation for it. Like, he's just seeing ruins of a castle if they're only in Hogwarts for, like, a very short period of time. But I don't foresee that. I understand that this movie is trying to, hopefully, move this series forward, and there's probably going to be a solid amount of fan service. Like, let's be real here, Mel.
I don't always mind that, actually, because there's some things you just want to really see, and when you get to see them, then it just makes you happy.
It is. It's definitely nice being back at Hogwarts. Is that a fan service moment, the Hogwarts incorporation? Yes. Is it nice? Yes. So we will get behind some of the fan service things, you know, but it's because they are trying to bring in the more casual Harry Potter viewer as well, too. They have to play on things that the people who maybe aren't as steeped in this world and know Eulalie Hicks's name already, they have to play on those people's knowledge of the Wizarding World, too. So if they come and they see Hogwarts, they're like, oh, cool. I kind of know this. Let me watch it. And hopefully, for us, that brings more people into the fandom who are just positive people. And we like having them here. If you're new, welcome. Hi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it's going to be interesting to see what Jacob is able to see, and if, because he just looks like anything confused. That has to do with magic is still
stunning to him. Unbelievable. Yeah,
so he's just fantastical. Like mouth wide open and like, what is happening? Taking all of that in.
Yeah, well then the next scene we get, what is this thing called again? Marjolaine told us what it was called. The Tibetan prayer wheel.
Prayer wheel.
So we see Dumbledore next to the Tibetan prayer wheel, which he promptly whoops himself into in a spiral. Yeah. And I'm looking at the screen grab right now. He's standing next to a man and two ladies with three suitcases. I don't know who these people even are.
Yes, that's what I thought. I suppose when we look at this, that Dumbledore is probably jumping in first because he doesn't seem to stand there anymore. He's nodding to them like, come on, let's do this. And in the next shot, he's already not there anymore. And we just see two other ladies, which one of them is for sure Eulalie. And then we have Newt and what looks like Theseus. But who's the other woman? Is that possibly Bunty?
Bunty? That's what I'm thinking. It kind of looks like the profile kind of looks like the actress who plays Bunty.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't think it's Catherine Waterstein. So sorry to Jen and Sophie. That profile, and you guys would know better than us. That profile doesn't look like her. So
no, it doesn't. What do we think about this wheel?
I think it's really pretty.
That looks amazing.
Like, where is this?
I would assume it's still in Hogwarts.
I thought it was like the basement of Hogwarts. That was my train of thought. And why is the Tibetan prayer wheel in the bottom of Hogwarts? I mean,
maybe this is one of Dumbledore's secrets.
Oh, yes. We will be learning some secrets.
I have a secret room in the basement. Let's go. Let me show you.
And then he pans to the camera and stares at the camera. And this is a secret of Dumbledore. And then he...
If I don't have the phoenix around and he needs a break, or he's just reborn from the ashes and still has to grow for a bit, this is my other way of traveling.
I really want Jude Law, every time he tells a secret, to look at the camera and be like, and that is a secret of Dumbledore, and then just go right back to what he was doing and act like it didn't even happen. I think that would be very funny.
I am quickly looking what a prayer wheel is, and it says, a prayer wheel is a cylindrical wheel on a spindle made from metal, wood, stone, leather, or coarse cotton, widely used in Tibet and areas where Tibetan culture is predominant. Traditionally, a mantra is written in Tibetan language on the outside of the wheel. The mantra Om Mani Padme Hum is most commonly used, but other mantras may be used as well.
See, it looks like there's like pictures on it though.
At the core of the cylinder is a life tree, often made of wood or metal, with certain mantras written on or wrapped around it. Many thousands, or in the case of larger prayer wheels, millions of mantras are then wrapped around this life tree.
Oh, okay.
It says that spinning such a wheel will have much the same meritorious effect as orally reciting the prayers.
Oh, okay.
That is just the surface of this. I haven't like gone fully into this now, but it sounds really interesting and it looks really beautiful.
Yeah.
And it teleports you in this case somewhere.
It sucks you up and spins you around and spits you out somewhere, possibly.
They all take a suitcase with them.
Mm-hmm.
What does that entail? I mean, what?
They're going on a trip?
But why do they all take the same suitcase that looks like Newt's usual case? Mm.
Maybe this is kind of a Seven Potters situation here where they're all going to try and
but that would be terrible.
Send out a decoy. I'm assuming Newt would be the one with the actual suitcase, but that wouldn't make sense to throw the people off if people are like, let's get Newt in his suitcase, and everyone else is like, aha, we have suitcases, but and then Newt is like, but I have the real suitcase. It's like, but that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking maybe there's something in this suitcase that has to be protected and to throw off Grindelwald and his followers. Any of these suitcases could be the one. Mm-hmm. And of course, the main character would have probably the original.
I think that there's something in this suitcase that's a creature that they have to transport to a certain place that has to do with something with this Tibetan prayer wheel. And that Newt actually will not be carrying it in his suitcase. He'll have his suitcase, but it won't carry the creature. And I think Bunty is there because she's going to have the creature in her suitcase because she can take care of the creature because she's competent. I think that's what's going to happen.
That would actually play nicely into a scene that will follow soon. Remind me when we get to it.
Okay.
Okay, moving on first now to the next scene. It's really interesting to me. After Newt jumps into the wheel.
Oh, yeah, we're looking at the prison.
There we have a shot at what I think is Nurmengard. And we see two people actually walking up what I believe are stairs. And if you look a tiny bit above those two, we have sort of something like screens happening where we see Grindelwald like appearing on. Yeah, these panels. So we see Grindelwald.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't even see that.
Yeah. And then also if you look, if you just go a millisecond further, the green thingies that pop up remind me very much of Dark Marks, but instead of the traditional, not yet invented dark mark, probably, that Voldemort uses, you can actually see the Deathly Hallows sign in it.
Oh, is it the Deathly Hallows or is that something
else? It is. No, it is.
Hold on, I gotta pull it back and watch it again.
The lower part of it is the Deathly Hallows sign, definitely.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then there are kind of spidery arms around it, four of them. I don't know what they are supposed to be.
Yeah.
So that's Grindelwald's mark, then, I guess. Is that a sort of dark markish sign as Voldemort used to have or have later? Or is that like, yeah, fireworks, our master is back home, or...
it's a weird symbol.
Yeah, I'm not sure what these claws are around it. It kind of looks like a spider.
Yeah. Wild. Good catch, Mel.
Thank you. Now I imagine that maybe in front of this mountain and might be a huge crowd of people, maybe he is having a speech there or something.
Yeah, like a rally.
And that's why you have the panels there also, so people can see him. Mm-hmm. And as a celebratory thing, you have the green bursts of light with the sign of the Deathly Hallows.
Yeah. Well, that would make sense, too, for the next scene, too, because he's being carried by this group of raggedy-looking people dressed in all black, and he is just loving every single second of being carried by these people.
Yeah.
Whoever they are, if they're witches or wizards or just regular people, I'm not sure.
They do seem very happy and cheerful, like they're celebrating him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is really enjoying himself. It's the first look of our new Grindelwald, and he looks very charming, I have to say.
I give him two thumbs up already.
Yeah, you can, just from this tiny thing, you can already tell that he is this kind of character. Like, yeah, look at me, I'm great.
Yeah.
he's probably just gave a great speech and everyone is like, you rock. And there he is falling into the crowd.
Doing
and
some casual crowd surfing.
Yeah.
Just casual. They almost look, I want to say they're nomages, or like whatever the German version of muggles is, because we...
Muggles.
They're muggles.
No S, just muggle.
You bloody muggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, they almost look like they're not, because they're holding like regular lamps and stuff too. So I'm thinking that they are, maybe he's freed these people from a prison. I can definitely see Grindelwald having some kind of play. I think it would be really interesting, and just from a Juliana, I would kind of like this perspective, if we get some kind of backstory and the story here plays into the World War II thing, and we kind of learn that maybe Hitler came to power specifically because of Grindelwald. Kind of like how you know, how Loki is, where Loki is the guy who jumped out of the plane that never got explained and no one can find him. Something like that situation where...
D.B. Cooper.
It's an event that happened, but no one... where no one has a full explanation for it, but it's because a wizard did it, and it's because Grindelwald did it, or Dumbledore had a secret that he hasn't told us yet.
When we just look at the Harry Potter stories, it's kind of leaning on to what real history has gone through, but not that directly. I cannot see him being so sharply pointed out to as being the cause for the actual real-life Hitler going the way he went.
What if Grindelwald is on a boat and he has a little brother named Bob, and then there's another baby in the cabin next to him named Hitler, and Bob is just being really loud. So Grindelwald thinks, I'll just do a baby swap. And then Bob dies, and... Hitler goes on to be the Grindelwald's adopted brother.
I feel like I have heard this story before.
Grindelwald can never forgive himself for what he did to Bob.
Poor Bob.
Poor Bob. What do you think of that? Do you think that storyline would fly, Mel? Do you think that's a good storyline?
Literally fly as an angry black blob, yeah.
Yeah. It seems vaguely familiar to me. I feel like I've heard that story before, but I'm not really sure where it's from.
Yeah, I think that's an entirely new creative thought from you, Juliana. I'm very proud of you.
You know, sometimes I consider myself a genius, but...
Yes.
Wow.
There is a little Ravenclaw in all of us. I like to believe that.
Let's see what we get next. So we get Rosier just casting a spell, which that could literally be anything.
No, actually that looks like the killing curse.
Oh, because it's green?
Yeah. And she has, like, a very fierce look on her. She looks fabulous, as she always does. Yeah, she's just one of the most beautiful people I have ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Stunning.
Yeah, she's just so beautiful. So it seems like she might be killing someone here.
Yeah, which is definitely within her scope of stuff that she does.
I don't want to accuse her of anything falsely, but I very much believe that is the killing curse.
Mm.
And then we have actually the scene that you saying that there might be a certain beast that needs to be protected, because we are seeing Newt running through this, I'm not sure,
kind of looks like bamboo almost.
Feel? Yeah, it looks like bamboo. Where would you get bamboo, Juliana?
Still not Brazil.
Not in Germany. Not in Austria. We are somewhere.
Somewhere on the Asian continents. Yeah,
maybe a baby panda with magical powers.
Oh yeah, a magical panda. Magical panda powers are very powerful powers.
I would love that. But because here we see that he is holding something in his arms that is a creature. But it's hard to tell what it looks like, what it is.
It's like sort of wrapped like in a bag almost.
It sort of has the shape of a...
Oh, it kind of looks like a goat maybe? Yeah, I was going to say like a goat.
Yeah, something like that.
Do we know any magical goats? Yeah, it definitely looks like a small, like a foal, or you're right, like a baby goat or like a baby sheep or something like that.
Is it a thestral maybe? But it looks more furry than that.
Yeah, it looks like it's almost brown, but that could be just be the way that things are shaded.
Depending on the angle, it has a sharper face feature, so it could be sort of like a thestral.
Aww.
That it has more of a beak.
What if we get little baby thestrals? Like little teeny tiny baby thestrals.
It's really hard to say from this, but... It's so Newt. I'm actually looking forward to that, because we can see how he is running for the life of himself and the little beast that he's protecting.
Yeah.
that he shields from whoever throws curses at them.
It's nice to have a moment, too, that's actually about beasts. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm so curious what beast it is, because it looks kind of furry, but is it a... I don't want to say it's a phoenix, but...
It can't be a phoenix. It doesn't look anything like a phoenix. It looks like a tiny little goat.
Maybe I'm just looking for that because I expect there to be one because of Dumbledore. And the secrets of Dumbledore. There's a...
Well, you know, it says the secrets of Dumbledore. It didn't say the secrets of Albus Dumbledore. And one of my good friends, Aberforth Dumbledore, is an avid goat herder. So...
Of course.
This is a magical Let's goat.
Save the goats.
This is the secret of Aberforth Dumbledore. He is the curator and owner of the magical goats that saved the entire wizarding world. Yes. Thank you very much. Goodbye. I've done my job.
Okay, I will comment the rest myself then.
No!
So in the next scene, we are back at Hogwarts and someone is flying in on a broom.
Yes.
And that very much looks like a Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Harry, is that you?
Hello? No.
Have you used the time turner again? Told not to.
I thought Hermione destroyed all of those.
Typical Harry.
Typical. But yeah, so I feel like that's more of like a kind of just panning shot. It just to bring people back to Hogwarts and draw them into the trailer itself. But then the next thing we get is this kind of weird dragon that's chasing Theseus through some weird dungeon or something.
My initial thought was that this might be a blast-ended Scrooge.
Could be.
It seems bigger.
The thing is, too, it doesn't exactly look like a blast-ended Scroot, because we haven't seen the blast-ended Scroot in the movies, but they have, Warner Brothers specifically, has created it in the parks, and that doesn't look like their version of it in the park. If there had been a non-WB Scroot created somewhere else, I would say that, yes, this could be it, but I think they would use, because that ride is so new, too, and people know that Scroot really well, I think they would definitely utilize that design concept.
Yeah, but it has a very sharp stinger at the end, and it looks fiery, and someone is shooting, either it is shooting out fire itself, or someone is shooting a spell at it. Let's see that again. It is shooting out the fire, so that's why I'm thinking it's a blast and it's screwed, but it could be also much bigger, and it could be maybe a scorpion-like creature.
Yeah, it could be something we just haven't even met yet.
It seems huge.
Yeah.
Oh, what was the... A manticore?
Oh yeah, it could be a manticore. That's the fire butt crab.
I was thinking you would probably think it's the fire butt crab.
Yeah. I would love to see the fire butt crab be in the fire... If the fire
Which
butt
is
crab...
Which not a real creature.
They could make it up, Mel. They could make it up. This could be the premiere. This is the debut of the fire butt crab.
Yes.
If the fire butt crab is in this movie, I would literally stand up and be like, the fire butt crab! And like the whole theater will be like, what the fuck is going on here? And I would be like, yes!
You heard it here first, people. It's a fire butt
crab. It's a
fire
butt crab.
There's no way around it now.
It's a goat. For Aberforth, and it is a firebutt crab. I am writing this movie. Thank you very much. Please come and see it in theaters and send me all of your ticket money. Thanks.
I am starting to be very sure it's a manticore, actually, because when you look at drawings from them, they pretty much have exactly that kind of stinger.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I believe that might be the case, and I think that one is actually also mentioned in the book.
Uh-huh.
Let me quickly check. It is actually in the book, and it has also a picture in here.
Do you have the animated, not the animated, the illustrated edition, Mel?
Yes.
They didn't illustrate all the beasts, but they illustrated a good number of them. It'd be interesting to see what that illustration looks like.
Oops. I overthrew Dumbledore.
Oh, no!
I'm sorry. He's lying on his face now.
Mel, today is not the night to recreate the fifth book. I know you love pretending that you're Draco Malfoy and you're going to kill or Snape.
You didn't fall that deep, so.
Yeah!
So the manticore, oh yeah, here it looks actually more like a demon, but it has, again, the same stinger. So I'm almost like 99% sure it's a manticore.
Let's see this, buddy. Yes, uh-huh. Yep, I agree with you, Mel.
It actually says The manticore is a highly dangerous Greek beast with the head of a man, the body of a lion, and the tail of a scorpion. As dangerous as the chimera and as rare, the manticore is reputed to croon softly as it devours its prey. Manticore skin repels almost all known charms, and the sting causes instant death.
Ooh, you better run, Theseus.
You would run from that. Yeah.
You don't want that. Does it say? It says that he can float through fire, too?
That's all it says about the manticore.
Oh, okay.
And it's highly dangerously classified.
A competent wizard can't cope?
Let's hope whoever is being chased by that is able to. I would assume it's maybe Theseus here.
I mean, he is an Oar and he passed that exam, so let's hope that he is competent enough. But you never know.
The manticore is pretty cool.
Yeah. So we have that, okay. And then we have Theseus running. And then we have the infamous scene of Jacob among papers and plates with a wand.
Yeah, the most important thing, a wand. The wand that he's holding looks like Grindelwald's original wand.
Yeah, it does.
Because that is very much like a
twirly, dark.
And it has this wavy, it's very much shaped exactly like it. So it looks like he has his wand. Okay, so I have to blurb in here for a moment. Since we have discussed this for the first time, it is a couple days ago, and as the internet is vast and full of amazing Potterheads, someone managed to zoom into the image of the wand that we are talking about very closely, and you can actually see that the shape is more solid, still very twig-like, but more solid, and it has a different pattern. It's kind of reddish brown blackish. It's very stripy. It looks very pretty. So I think we can say, surely now, that's definitely not Grindelwald's wand. We might still mention this a couple times throughout this episode, so just kind of ignore it. So it's definitely something else. We have also some ideas who it might be belonging to or what the use of it is, but I just wanted to mention that. Now the question is, why does he have it? Did they steal Grindelwald's wand? How would he get it, is the next question.
I have two things in my head. Like, either he's the one holding the wand and someone was just like, here, take this, grabs it. And he's kind of just doing a pass and play where he's handing it off to the next person. Or he is tasked with holding the wand because they know they can trust Jacob with it because he can't actually use it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe he's the one holding it because he can't actually use it. I mean, obviously, the most practical way is to hold a wand in your hand.
Although, he could still kind of, the wand itself holds power as well.
Mm.
Not that I'm saying he can do magic with it, but when you remember, at least movie-wise, when we have the scene where, in the zoo, in the first movie, where Newt loses his wand to the monkey, and the monkey is kind of
like
playing with it, and there's
and
like
stuff.
A shot of, yeah. So I'm not saying it's like super dangerous for him or anything, but...
Yeah, the wand could definitely have a mind of its own too, which we've seen in some of these wands where like Jacob might be holding it, but all of a sudden the wand just like you said, just does something on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So I could definitely see that being something.
So all these papers that are floating towards him are also catching fire in the end, so that doesn't look very safe. So lots of fire happening in this teaser, actually.
Oh yeah, you're right, they are catching fire behind him, and he's kind of using them as a walkway to get out of this room that he's in with the fancy picture behind him and some kind of dinner party that looks like got upset from all the plates and silverware and stuff that's hanging out in the air behind him.
The next scene, we have a street, again, in a different country. I believe maybe this is the prayer wheel might be sending you to different locations. Mm. So everyone goes to a different country, possibly.
Yeah.
So Newt is wherever there's bamboo growing.
Newt went on a vacation to Asia. Dumbledore went to somewhere else in Europe. Other people are at undisclosed locations at this point. So we have Dumbledore in the alley.
Yeah, so he is somewhere else. And there is a little snitch coming towards him, probably was the message, I would say. I
think. It's kind of weird because Dumbledore doesn't really have any connection to Quidditch.
I don't think that has anything to do with Quidditch, though, because he uses it as, for Harry, it holds the Resurrection Stone. So there could be something in there with a little message, or it's a sign or something. Maybe just a callback to what we know from Harry Potter.
Fan service moment.
Maybe. But I could imagine there might be a little message or something in there.
But wouldn't you just use a Patronus?
Not if it has to be less, like, conspicuous. This is a much more subtle way of communicating with him. Maybe it's also just a sign, hello.
And snitches are very, very, very fast and almost impossible to see by the human eye.
Yeah.
So a good messenger, actually.
Yeah. We have...
Hair.
Hair. Credence, yet hair. Again, with a different hairstyle. Every movie, we have a new fashion statement from Credence.
I mean, Ezra Miller definitely is someone who loves to make a fashion statement, so I would expect nothing less.
Yeah, I mean, he's fabulous. He looks very angry in here. Again, lots of fire behind him. From the destruction that he causes, it seems like he can control his Obscurus in a different way now that he is not himself in it anymore, yeah. But he has channeled this power maybe in a different way now that he is like a full wizard taught by Grindelwald, I assume.
Yeah.
With a wand and everything. So he's causing destruction in a street. This building, first of all, it looks to me like it is flipped around. It's not the right way.
Yeah, it does. Oh yeah, you're right, because all the words are in the... Yeah, that's not the correct word. That's like a mirror yes. image version.
So, when looking at this, I thought this could possibly be actually Germany, because when you look at the front of this mm-hmm. building, it seems to be possibly a cinema, because it does say Kino on it, which means cinema in German.
Oh, okay.
So either we are in Austria or in Germany, or maybe even in Switzerland, who knows? All German-speaking countries. But the T, the A with the double points on uh-huh. it, is an A in German, and then there's an J and L, which could be just like a shortening of the word täglich, which means daily. So this could be hinting at a daily cinema.
Oh, I think if anything, this gives us a grounding place where we know where this is happening, essentially. It has to be in one of those places you mm-hmm. specified, Mel.
Yeah, I could not, this is the only what I could like see and read mm-hmm. from that it could possibly hint at least a German-speaking country. This could also be, of course, Austria or maybe Switzerland, yeah. But you don't have many languages that have an A in it, and this is definitely not yeah. Finland. But this would, from the wording, it would make sense that it's at least German.
Yeah.
Here we have Credence running through these streets and destroying everything behind him and throwing this at Dumbledore.
So he's just like kind of casually standing there, just waiting.
Because that's how he is.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to
do anything
else.
He is so cool and collected about things. He waves his wand and deflects it. Nothing can stop this man.
And then we get Jude Law eyes. I think he's talking to Newt. I assume that's who he's talking. Oh, no, he's not, because Newt is standing behind him.
Yes, he's talking to Theseus. I've actually written down what he says throughout the trailer.
Ooh.
And what he says is the following. The world as we know it is coming undone. Things that seem unimaginable today will seem inevitable. Yes, that tomorrow. Should you agree to do what I ask, you'll have to trust me, even when every instinct tells you not to.
Instinct tells you not to.
Yeah.
Wow.
So very powerful stuff. He is using his words very wisely once again, as he always does. I am sure that's Theseus, and Newt is probably already into the plan.
Yeah.
But Theseus is still needing some convincing, because this goes against everything that he's standing for in his position. That must be some big, big thing.
Yeah. I wonder what secret Dumbledore, what secret plan he is letting them in on, because clearly this movie is going to be full of secrets.
You would assume so with the
title. I would
title
hope
like
so,
that.
I mean.
I doubt it is about his secret patterns for his knitting, you know.
Darn, that's what I wanted.
How to make this fabulous
yeah,
scarf that he's
I
want
to learn how to make his hat and all the robes he wears and his socks. I could use a pair of knitted socks, thank you very much.
So, that was the teaser trailer.
How long was that, Mel?
Over an hour.
We spent over an hour dissecting
We would definitely love to hear from you guys. Send us in all your theories, impressions. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Is there something that you are very worried about?
Is that a goat?
Anything?
Is it a goat that Nude is holding?
Is that a goat? Is it a manticore or a firebutt crab?
Because that's what I want most out of this. Because my boy Aberforth, he needs more screen time, you know?
Oh, goodness. Okay.
So I guess now we'll hand it over to future Mel and Juliana, who have recorded their reactions to the full trailer. So if you thought you hadn't strapped in enough, double check your seatbelts and get ready, because here we go. Broop!
All right. I hope you enjoyed the first part of this episode. I think we had some great ideas, and you could probably tell we are very excited. Now I will let you get my comments of the full trailer, where we actually might already get a couple answers to the questions we had from the teaser. So what I will do is go through the scenes bit by bit, and we shall see what we can discover. Now, the thing is, with trailers, you always need to watch them several times, and I am someone who's very detail-oriented, and I am looking like every tiny bit, and I'm trying to catch everything. Let's see. So, here we go with the official trailer of Fantastic Beasts: The Secrets of Dumbledore. We keep seeing the little snitch flying around, so I still think there must be some kind of sign, message, whatever happening there that is significant to it. I don't think it's just a flashback, but we shall see. Here we have Dumbledore, our very familiar version, old Dumbledore. And the past whispers to you. That must be about Grindelwald, right? So it's catching up. Since this is called The Secrets of Dumbledore, I assume we will now get really deep into the relationship that Dumbledore and Grindelwald had, and the secrets of that he had similar ideas to Grindelwald and realized later that maybe that's not the greatest thing to do. The music, by the way, throughout the whole trailer is just, it's great. So here we are at Hogsmeade, and we see Newt and I believe Theseus walking through Hogsmeade, and they are searching for Dumbledore. And who is turning around? That would be my brother. Aberforth is here. Juliana, you might still get your goats. So so clearly we are really getting the story of Dumbledore's past and the entire family. Maybe we will even see Ariana and what happened with her, because that is, I believe, something that would be quite interesting, because we all have the theory for so long that she is an Obscurus, or had an Obscurus as well, just as Credence had. And there might be some kind of connection. And we had, over the years, so many crazy ideas of how this all could connect, and that maybe when Ariana died, her Obscurus got free, and it became part of a weird ritual thing that Dumbledore and Grindelwald have done and created Credence, and that's why he might be a sort of Dumbledore. There has been so many crazy ideas out there. Yeah, this is definitely gonna be one of my favorite things to find out. Of course, it's very tragic, but you just have so many questions in your head, and you would love to find out what has actually happened. So we are getting a young Aberforth with a great moustache, Newt and Theseus looking for Albus, but finding Aberforth instead. And then we have Dumbledore walking the streets of what I believe might be Germany. This would be really fun if we could see Germany. I mean, come on. Then we are in a place that seems to be a gathering and people being very excited. The writing on the banners is actually Asian looking. It looks like a big gathering, so maybe we were right about Grindelwald just riling up his troops, gathering followers, giving big speeches, most likely, because he seems to have a knack for that. People respond to it very well. And here we have a very clear shot of Grindelwald having the Elder Wand in his hand. Is the person that Grindelwald is taking the thought of Yusuf Karma? Yes, it might be. His hair is different. He has a mustache. Taking the thought and kind of flicking it. Getting rid of it. Is he erasing memories, maybe? Controlling his mind in some way. Making him forget certain things to control him more. He looks kind of dazed when he walks the path there. This is very fast-paced, so there's a lot of jumping about into different moments of the movie. So here we have now Newt on a raft, maybe, made of wood or bamboo, with one of the suitcases somewhere in the world. They might have to find something significant to stop Grindelwald. And what I very much love is that we get Piggott again. Piggott is back. I haven't seen any Nifflers so far. At least we have Piggott. He is still Newt's best friend, and it's so cute. And Piggott talking to him. Ah, I have to hear that again. That is so cute. I wish I would speak Piggott. Moving on to a city. Let's look at the details. So we have lots of writing here. Maybe I can actually figure out what it is. Not 100% sure, but I think we are definitely in Germany, because I keep seeing the writings here on the buildings are just, they are German. So there is a Apotheke, a pharmacy. There is some, I can't see it completely, but it says Spiele, games, maybe Lichtspiele, light games. I'm sorry, I'm terrible at translating this, I don't know. I would assume this might be a sort of Lichtspiele, like, is that what you might call movies also? Yeah, so it does look like this is Germany. Yeah, very interesting. This might be Berlin, perhaps. And here we are, having Newt with his case once more. People with banners, there's this huge staircase, and this might be just another spot again where Grindelwald is giving a speech, and maybe Newt is there to see what he's up to. And we were right, which I love. It is actually Bunty that we saw in the, what we now know is the Room of Requirement, with the prayer wheel. So, Juliana, we were correct. It is Bunty, which is also having one of the suitcases. And that is just, it keeps making me wonder, what the heck is happening with these suitcases? What's supposed to be possibly in there? Do they have to place... Is it a distraction? Are they supposed to place something in a different corner of the world? We keep seeing this face of a woman on this yellow banner. And I wonder who is that? And what do the signs actually say that everyone keeps holding up? I can't, maybe that's the name of the person. It says Santos. But I don't know what the first word is. It's maybe her first name. So this is editing Mel here. This really got me curious. So I had a quick look and Googled the name Santos and Fantastic Beasts 3. And I found out that the person we are seeing on these banners is actually called, and I'm trying to pronounce this correctly, Vincencia Santos. The actress is called Maria Fernanda Sandido? Sandido? I apologize. Andre, you can tell us how it's really pronounced. But she was actually confirming that she is playing Vincentia Santos in Fantastic Beasts 3. And she is actually an actress from Brazil, which is very interesting to me. I am very happy to announce that I will represent Brazil in Fantastic Beasts Dumbledore's Secrets. In the film, I play Vincentia Santos. I can't wait for you to find out more about her. So we actually still do meet up in Brazil. And I really hope we do, because we were sort of promised this. And so far from the footage, we could not tell if we were there or not. But according to her, I think we are. And here we have Eulalie as a full shot doing some magic. She looks so beautiful. And so elegantly how she moves the wand. It looks so good. She got some nice practice. Here we have the Hogwarts train. Oh no, what is this? It's definitely a train, but it's a fancy train. Okay, so in this shot, we do have Bunty. We have Theseus. We do have Yusuf. We have Eulalie, and oh, and there's the Niffler. The Niffler is in the movie. And Jacob. Jacob has the Niffler right in front of him, who is playing with a fork. He's scratching himself with the fork. How adorable! Ah, that makes me so happy right now. Okay, what I have noticed so far is that we have no Queenie, we have no Tina. Also, Nagini should be there. And I am wondering if we are going to see Serafina at some point. So far, all the female characters have kind of been kicked out, except we are, of course, gaining our new professor, Eulalie, and Bunty is back, which is great. And this is so exciting. Newt saying, Dumbledore asked me to give you something. And Jacob is like, what? Me? And here we get a good look at Wand, which Pickett is trying to grab for, like he's attached to it. I mean, we know Bowtruckles are the guardians of magical trees that are suitable for wand making. Naturally, he would be drawn to the wand, I suppose. Now, we have had already with our earlier discussion for the teaser, the theory that this wand that Newt is now giving to Jacob is actually Grindelwald's original wand. And I have to say, the shape of it is still very similar to what we have as a replica already available. Still, okay, the color is one thing, but the replica is a bit darker and more hollowed out. But in this, it looks a bit different. And I have to say, when we see later how Jacob is holding it and putting it into his suit to hide it away, the handle looks very different. I'm not sure if they have just worked over the original design, the one that we were already able to purchase and that I am having here right now, if they might have changed the design, or if this is a completely entirely different wand from someone else. So this actually makes me question now if this really is Grindelwald's wand. I would assume that Grindelwald and his followers wouldn't really care much for Jacob because he's, in quotation marks, just a muggle. They would not expect him to hold a wand. I hope it's not the case that Jacob is suddenly turning into a wizard himself, even though he desperately wants to, because that would be just not sit right with me somehow. I would prefer him to stay just a muggle and just be in awe and be excited about seeing everything and just representing us, who would be exactly like Jacob, looking at everything in wonder. And I just love that we have that with him. He's us. So I hope he's just safekeeping it and Dumbledore's thinking, just give it to Jacob. He would love it. He will protect it. I trust this guy. No one will suspect that he would even carry a wand. And Aberforth is just his sassy himself, as we know him already, just being grumpy, rightfully, I would say. I always felt like, yeah, it's not great how Aberforth behaves, but it's kind of understandable since the history and the secrets of Dumbledore, of what happened in the past and that Ariana died because of it. Just the remark that, huh, off to save the world, are we? And here we have a very beautiful shot of Credence and a phoenix flying towards him. It looks pretty. And I am not 100% sure why Queenie looks so strange in this trailer. Her face doesn't look natural. What happened? Because this seems to be a flashback from at the end of the first movie, where she is coming to check on Jacob after they have parted ways. He is remembering the bite mark from the Murtlap and her face, and they are giving each other a hug. But why is Queenie looking so strange? Do you know what I mean? Like, it was done with special effects, but there will be another moment that we're gonna look at a bit closer. And then we have Newt and Theseus being in this cave, and there are these very tiny crab everywhere. But it's so cute how he immediately turns into one of those crabs. I love Newt. I love Newt. I can't not love him. And then he takes the same position and swiggles his butt over and moves the same way as they do. So they are not getting into trouble. Swivel a bit delicately. And Theseus is just like, what the hell are we doing here? So let's try to have another close look at this beast, because I was pretty sure this would be a manticore, but somehow, again, we get such a close look at them, but also not. It's hard to tell what their faces look like. Blast and Scroot is looking more differently, and the fire crab that Juliana is always talking about, which she's always calling the fire butt crab, is not that either. So yeah, it's curious. It's really bugging me. I think there was another beast that is very much crab-like, but what is it? Or it's just their version of a manticore or a blast and it's screwed or whatever. That the problem with these is that the descriptions in the book of Newt are sometimes a bit different than what they actually put on screen. And then it makes that a little bit difficult to figure out what kind of a beast it is. I would just love to know immediately, what beast is this? Definitely not a friendly one. And then we have a fancy restaurant. There is this big storm again happening, where we already saw in the teaser trailer a short moment. Jacob desperately fighting against the wind and actually holding up the wand. And we have Queenie here, and behind her is actually Yusuf. So that supports my thought that Yusuf is in the beginning still with our heroes, but then Grindelwald gets to him and takes out the memory from his head, whatever memory he is taking out, and erasing possibly some of it and convincing him to join his forces. So he is with Queenie right now, who in this shot also looks very different. Her face is just so different. This is not looking like our very naturally beautiful Allison. Has there been the case that she was maybe not at the set and they might have had someone else play her part and then just digitally put her face in, like over the person? Something is going on here. She looks very intense though, like she's really serious. And I'm worried about that. I hope that she is just playing a role, facing Jacob, the love of her life. Oh, this is gonna be quite the intense scene, I think, that he's fighting so hard to get back to her and probably wanting to save her. And she's just, yeah, not with me, dude. Whew. Okay, so next we have Credence is cutting through, so there must be a spell of protection that Credence, now super powerful, is forcing his way into, cutting right through it. Oh wow, there's so many action scenes happening now, because this is building up towards something big here. So we have Newt running up the stairs, catching up to whoever else is on the staircase going up with a suitcase. So I would assume it might be Bunty. And Grindelwald is on top of the stairs, shouting about our war with the Muggles begins today. Then Grindelwald in the water? What? It looks like a little pool blasting a water spell against maybe Dumbledore? Wow, there's so much happening. Oh my goodness. And we have Credence again in what is possibly German streets, blasting all his power against Dumbledore and pushing against him, really determined to probably get rid of him. Like he has zero fear and is completely consumed with rage. And Dumbledore disapparating. And here we are, back to somewhere in the beginning, I would assume, of this story, in the Room of Requirement. And once again, someone just grabbing Jacob's hand and operating with a portkey, which he always feels very sick afterwards. This time he does not have a bucket, so I hope he's fine. Now here we have a big, big beast. What is this beast? And who is tied to its bottom? Is it Newt? And what beast is this? Oh my goodness. So many strange beasts, I don't know what they are, but it looks gigantic. Big wings, tiny legs, some kind of beak-like face, and a long tail that is wrapped around a person that I can only guess at who that might be. And at the very end, it's still holding on to the suitcase also. Yeah, we have a shocked Pickett holding on to a wand and running away with it. Is it Newt's wand? It could be. And then the best line, probably. Correct. 3 points to Hufflepuff. Which is so good. It's such a habit, I guess, as a teacher that, oh yeah, correct, you get 3 points here, have more points. And Dumbledore, as we know, loves to give points. Who is that in the background? Is this a different teacher? It does not look like Tina. Or is it Minerva, maybe? Someone we also haven't seen is Serafina. I wonder if we get to see her again at some point. And then we just get a very sweet ending of Jacob sitting in the Great Hall with all the Hogwarts students. And here we see that the wand that he has and that he puts into his jacket has a different handle than the Grindelwald wand. That is confusing me. They are fully aware that he is a muggle, surely, and he just has his sassy moments. I have to think now of the moment where he was in the bar in the first movie, and he says that, house elf, my uncle was a house elf. And here he's also like, oh, I got this for Christmas. Okay, and that was it. I am pretty sure that when we look through this trailer a couple more times, we will see even more things. There is so much to unpack. So much to see. We don't know what of it is actually going to end up in the movie, because sometimes we get those moments like Jacob saying, I want to be a wizard, and that not being in the movie. Yeah, overall, I think such an exciting trailer. I really enjoy that. I will probably gonna watch this still 20 more times. And this says something, because I hate spoilers. Usually when I am really looking forward to something, a movie that I desperately want to see, I will not look at any trailers. I will not even look at pictures. I don't want to hear anything about it until I'm going to the cinema and I watch it, because I want to have the full impression first time when it's right there on the screen and like I'm watching it. This is different, of course, especially since we are having our own podcast. This is the first time, for me at least, that I have the opportunity to watch a trailer like this and actually analyze it and have conversations about it. And I am very much looking forward to all your ideas of what things could be. What are the beasts? I want to know what the beasts are. I think that's one of the most exciting things for me. I'm such a Hufflepuff. Yeah, but I guess we will find out in April. This was my first impression of the trailer, and I will give it over to Juliana now, and we will see what she is discovering, because several pair of eyes see more than just one. And yeah, I hope you are enjoying Juliana's review.
Well, hello, fellow bow truckles, demiguises, and blast-ended scroots. Juliana here. Welcome to the Juliana side of the Secrets of Dumbledore trailer release breakdown slash theory slash reaction stuff. So, what I'm kind of thinking for my side of things is, you probably listened to Mel already. She's very detailed. She probably went frame by frame, analyzing everything that's in it. We've already established, for the most part, that Mel is the small details person, and I am more like the big picture person. So I have a strong feeling that when you get my side of things, it's going to be a lot more bigger picture reactions, things that are maybe theories that I've come up with. I have a few already. I have some hot takes. This morning, I was so excited. Like, I was like beside myself with excitement, because Mel and I, we both really love these movies, and I know it's a controversial spot in the Wizarding World fandom, and there are a lot of people who just don't really care for them. We love them. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna watch the trailer through with me. I'm gonna react to it in real time. I will tell you when I'm starting, so that way if you want to, you can play it along with this. It's only about 2 minutes long, and then I'm gonna give you some of my hot takes, theories, and reactions further to the trailer itself. So let's get started with that. Go ahead and bring up the Fantastic Beasts, the Secrets of Dumbledore, the official trailer on YouTube. And in 3, 2, 1, go! Old Dumbledore. I love this choir that's in the background. It's Aberforth! Oh. Whoa. Where is Newt going? He's like going somewhere with bamboo. Oh my goodness, this is so exciting. Ooh, is that Diagon Alley? Where is this place? Okay, Yusuf Kama looks great with his new haircut. Oh, it's the wand. Oh, boy. Oh, a phoenix. Oh. Fire butt crabs. Boop, broop, broop, broop. Yeah. Oh, Mel was right. That definitely is a manticore. What is Jacob trying to do with that wand? This is what I want to know. Our war with the Muggles begins today. Credence coming through. The room we require. Ooh, wow, pretty. Yeah, that's not Grindelwald's wand. There's no way. Oh, that was so good. Okay. I just wanted to share some initial feelings and reactions that I had and things that I've kind of acquired through as the day has gone on, because I'm recording this at the end of the day. My first one is some things that are like blatantly missing from this trailer. The first one being things that have already been addressed, which is Tina. Where is Tina? Tina was in that last scene at the end of the last movie, and I'm interested to see how they explain her away, because she can't be chasing Credence right now because they are chasing Credence, and we see Credence as part of this shenanigans that is going on. So I don't understand like where she went. I'm kind of hoping, and this is my theory, is that she, however they explain her out of it, they bring her back in at the end, and it's just like the closing scene and we get a glimpse of her and she's just like looking up from the bottom of like a dingy cell or something. And the whole next movie is going to be about Tina. The secrets of Tina Goldstein. That is one of my predictions. I will be making many predictions with you listeners tonight. Some of them are complete crap. Some of them might be valid. Second observation, which just hit me like literally minutes ago. Where is the Niffler? Where is the Niffler? Has Pickett become the new Niffler? I mean, he's very cute when he speaks. And that's another thing too. Pickett can talk. Didn't know that. Guess that's a thing now. So we're going to get more little cute talking sticks, I guess. And I'm definitely here for that. I love a cute talking stick.
So, 52 seconds into the trailer, you will see Jacob at the bar, and right in front of him sits the little Niffler with a fork, scratching his chin. It's adorable. You're welcome.
Other big things, obviously, there's kind of a, not a full style change, but there has been a passage of time, and I feel as though our characters have matured in that time in a good way, and I'm happy about it. Ezra Miller has never looked better in any Credence haircut. I like the haircut that the actor who Yusuf Kama plays has, and obviously Eddie Redmayne's Newt has not changed a single minute detail of his character. I'm interested to see Jessica Williams' character and how that plays out. So that will be very, very interesting. I will also say one of the big things that I've gathered from this trailer, I definitely took up a problem with the second movie. Like I said, huge fan of these movies. That doesn't mean I still don't have gripes with them. So one of my big gripes with the second movie is that it had too many moving parts. There were too many storylines with too many new characters, half of which died, and it was just moving in too many directions at one time. And what happens when you pull something in too many directions at one time? It usually breaks. And you could kind of even tell that from the trailer that they put out last time. Whereas with, I feel, with this one, just based off of this trailer, and hopefully from the notes that they got from Crimes of Grindelwald, called, that this seems like a much more cohesive storyline. It seems as though we have maybe two, maybe three storylines going at this time. Most of the characters are sticking together. They're following the same storyline. Our new core group of people is moving forward together as a group, achieving a shared goal. And so it's not a maze trying to figure out what the storyline is and what's going on. And it doesn't also seem like we're getting too many new characters. Like, we've already met Eulalie Hicks, which is Jessica Williams' character, in the book in the last movie. So we kind of have a little bit of familiarity with her. There aren't really any other new characters that are being introduced as far as we can tell, because we're going to get Queenie, we're going to get Rosie Eyre, the new version of Grindelwald, who seems very good so far. I like his affect. It's definitely a different feel to the Johnny Depp one, but I like it, so I'm not mad at it. Obviously, we have Jacob and Newt, Theseus. One of the other things, too, that I forgot now that I'm talking about characters is that one of the other characters that we're missing is Nagini. Where did Nagini go? I know Mel and I were talking about this earlier, and I think Jen was the one who came up with this theory, but possibly she's in the Chamber of Secrets hanging out with her new BFF, the Basilisk. I mean, who knows? That's not the craziest theory I'm going to throw out here, but I do appreciate how this movie seems to be using Crimes of Grindelwald and Fantastic Beasts as a stepping stone. This one seems to, there's a base to this story already. So definitely excited for that. And also, there is no mention of Leta Lestrange at all in any of this. So I think we can pretty much confirm that she is dead. And that is where I will stand on this one.
Nope.
So one of the other things that we saw in this trailer was Credence standing on some weird, like, volcano edge thing. And a phoenix comes down and sees him.
And a phoenix only comes to a Dumbledore in great need.
We were told last movie that he is a Dumbledore. I guess we're going to find out how that's possible. And this phoenix, I guess, is confirming that he is a Dumbledore because it's flying around him and being like, I love Dumbledore! Squawk, squawk, squawk! Do I want that to be the truth? No. Is it probably the truth? I guess. We'll figure it out.
Just a quick warning. The following couple of minutes are a very, very concerning and very insane crackpot theory that Juliana has come up with. Puffcast is officially denying any responsibility for this. So if you want to keep listening, it's your own responsibility.
Let's just assume that Credence is actually a Dumbledore and Juliana's wish does not come true. How is Credence a Dumbledore? I would like to suggest that Credence is the son of Aberforth, whom we have now met as a younger wizard, which is very interesting because he's not exactly as I imagined him, but maybe because he's just like a little bit more handsome than I imagined, and I just have always imagined Aberforth as being kind of grimy. I think the actor fits the role pretty well, though, as far as I can say. So my theory is that Aberforth is the father of Credence, which would make him a Dumbledore, and the mother is a goat. Yes.
You have officially gone mad, Juliana. Mad!
We all know that Aberforth has a very, very strong affinity for goats. So, I mean, why not? Goaterforth could definitely be a thing. That is their ship name. Aberforth and the goat. Credence, Goaterforth, Dumbledore.
Okay, that's it. I quit.
You're a descendant of a goat. It's kind of like a basilisk situation where you put a chicken egg under a snake or whatever the heck you do. You never know. It's interesting. Just thinking through some of the other things that I noticed about this trailer. I wrote that it looks amazing. It does. The wand that Jacob has. What is going on with this wand? We all know that muggles can't have wands. First off, how is Jacob inside of Hogwarts without him having to turn around and leave or whatever? We get the whole spiel from Hermione on how that charm works in one of the books, but he shouldn't even be able to be in Hogwarts. So I'm really hoping that they explain how he's able to be inside of Hogwarts and be all chummy with the kids and see everything that's going on and not just be looking at ruins of a castle the entire time, because clearly he's not, because he can see the Tibetan prayer wheel that is in the Room of Requirement and he can see everything that's going on. He clearly can. He's sitting in the Great Hall eating lunch with these other students. Apparently now, Dumbledore is the one who asks Newt to give him the wand. And we all know Dumbledore loves to give a shady gift. He loves to give an unexplained shady gift. That seems in character to me. But the thing is, why is Dumbledore giving Jacob this wand? And what can the wand do? And also, why does Jacob look like he's trying to cast a spell very haphazardly at what I'm going to call Dark Queenie, because she's wearing black and she looks almost like a glossed over version of Queenie? He's trying to cast a spell at Dark Queenie, and then we see in the pre-trailer that he was almost like lifting the things around him up with that wand, but then he shoves it into his jacket pocket and just has it there. And it's just weird because, like, even in that scene with the students are like, wow, what is that thing you're holding? And he's like, it's a wand. And they are acting like they've never seen a wand before, which makes no sense because they're in Hogwarts and they have their own wands.
Now, I've already mentioned this to Juliana before, but I want to say it here once more. I think actually that the kids are a bit more confused about the fact that, first of all, Jacob is a muggle and he is in Hogwarts and sitting on their table. Never before, probably, a muggle has ever entered Hogwarts. And then this guy even has his own wand. So I am not even surprised that the kids want to see it up close and ask him, like, and how did you get it?
So I wonder if this is some kind of like special wand. And Mel made the point of that maybe Dumbledore gave it to Jacob to protect it, but Jacob seems to actively be using this wand, so that's like not really, and Jacob's like not known for being the most agile of the group of people. Giving it to someone who's going to maybe be kind of a klutz and wave it around everywhere is not like the best hiding strategy, I would say. Yeah, so maybe just an oversight on Dumbledore's part, or that's not actually why he has the wand. I'm just curious as to what the wand can do, what the purpose of Jacob getting this wand is, because he's a muggle.
Okay, so here's another quick thought from me. What if the wand actually belongs to the Goldstein family? How about it might be Tina and Queenie's mom's or dad's wand, and it holds such a meaning to them that when Dumbledore gives it to Jacob, he has the intention that when Jacob encounters Queenie, and we know that her mind is all messed up by Grindelwald, that Jacob is presenting the wand to her in some form. And this will hold such a powerful memory that it will trigger all this feelings and the memories of her family, that it will bring her back and pull her out of this spell that Grindelwald has over her.
Even though I did hear, and I have heard this theory before, the theory that Jacob is actually a squib. But that being said, that would allow him to see Hogwarts, which would make sense on that regard. But it would not allow him to be a wizard and use a wand, because as we see in the books, Filch is trying to use the quick spells teaching theory class, and he can't actually use a wand. It makes no sense unless Dumbledore has given him this almost like, you know, when you give someone a preloaded phone card and you're like, hey, you have like 20 minutes to use on this just in case you get lost or whatever. It's almost like Dumbledore is giving him like a preloaded wand, I guess, that has so many spells that he can use in it. Maybe Jacob has to hit Queenie with a spell that is preloaded into the wand. Like, he has to be the one to do it because she's the one who's in love with him. It has to be between those two people. So he has to defeat her. And the only way to do it is through a very specific spell that Dumbledore can preload onto a wand that Jacob then has to go and swing at her and hope that the wand works. And then hit her, like, square in the chest and be like, boom! And she snaps back to life. Oh, Jacob! Oh! I was just so lost without you for so long. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I really need to get this wand explanation. I really need it. It's just, wow. I would also like to say that I am very excited because, one, Mel definitely predicted that there is a manticore in here. I think that's a manticore, the one that comes through the cave window where Theseus and Newt are both standing there and sticks its little stinger thingy through. I definitely think that's a manticore. And also, I would like to say I'm very proud of myself because those are definitely firebutt crabs. There are so many little tiny firebutt crabs. If one of them but just farts out some fire, I will be a happy, happy, happy camper. I'm waiting for the firebutt crabs. I predict that this movie has firebutt crabs in it. Thank you. The end. One of the other big things with this trailer is the locations that we're in. Mel has confirmed for us that through her expert multiple language speaking that at least one of the countries is a German speaking country. So that would mean either like Germany or Austria or Switzerland, somewhere up in that general vicinity. The other places we get are that staircase place that we see Newt running up, and Grindelwald seems to be at the end of, with some people dressed in weird robes, when he's saying that the war on Muggles starts today. It almost looks like a Mayan temple. It's definitely not Brazil, and it looks like it's the place wherever the bamboo forest is that Newt is running through. So I'm not really sure what's up with that, but it looks like we are definitely going to be obviously at Hogwarts and also a German-speaking country, which is where Credence seems to be and where Dumbledore seems to be trying to go after Credence. I'm very interested to see the dynamic play out between Dumbledore and Credence, because Credence is a Dumbledore, apparently. I would like to see how that's going to play out. Credence is also Dumbledore's nephew because he is Aberforth's son. There's a lot of family dynamics happening here. And I'm very interested to see how all of this does play out. So one of the other cool things is that we're going to be getting the Room of Requirement. And I'm interested to see like where this Tibetan prayer wheel, shout out to Marjolaine for identifying that, takes us. Because Mel and I, when we saw the pre-trailer, you could see that there were 4 suitcases and 4 people. But we learned that there will actually be the core 5 and Dumbledore going somewhere through that prayer wheel with the suitcases, which we also see in the scene where Eulalie Hicks and Theseus are fighting back to back. They're both also making sure that they carry the suitcases. So there must be something valuable in these suitcases that they can't let go of, or at least one of them has something valuable in it and the rest of them are just decoys. Kind of a 7 Potter situation. I think these suitcases are going to play a much bigger role. They do look like Newt's regular suitcase. So I'm almost wondering if it's a creature. And I think I made this point on our other recording that Bunty would be the one to get the creature because she's the one who knows how to handle all the creatures in Newt's suitcase, which is exciting too because we're definitely going to get more Bunty. So that will be a fun thing to see. And hopefully she's just not like as like fangirly towards Newt. I feel like from the vibes of this trailer, she won't be. So that will be nice. That's definitely not all the theories and thoughts and feelings I have, listeners, but that is definitely a good amount of them, and I am excited to get more content on this. I know Mel and I were really excited to record this. We also have a Instagram Live that is up right now, saved to our Instagram page, so if you want to go hear the two of us react 3 hours after the trailer dropped together to what we saw, then go and head over there. You can see our pretty much initial reactions together. Look forward to more conversations about the Fantastic Beasts and the Secrets of Dumbledore trailer. Anyone who is in the Massachusetts area, I'm just going to put this out here. If you want to get together when this movie comes out, I'm going to put out a call for people to see if they want to go and watch the movie together, which I think would be really fun. Maybe we'll do that. Obviously, that's not for a little while now. We could plan ahead at some point, but possibly a New England movie watching party, which would be really fun. And if you're in Finland, hit up Mel. But you're probably not. No one's in Finland. Just her. And me, when I go visit her next year. Woohoo! Okay. Well, thank you, listeners. That's that. And until next time. I backed up like a foot from the mic, like 3 feet from the microphone for that. Okay.
All right, guys. So there you have it. I hope that you found our reviews interesting, that you are bursting with excitement as we are, and we can't wait for April to finally see this movie and discuss this all in detail with all of you and get our answers. And next week, our new episode is coming out, which is our Christmas episode. And we have had a special guest, very Christmassy, that hopefully puts you into the right mood. And yeah, we will see you next week. And listeners, don't forget, you can listen to us on all platforms podcasts are found. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PuffCastPod, Facebook at facebook.com/PuffCast. We are also on TikTok at PuffCast. And if you would like, you can email us at PuffCastPod@gmail.com. We would very much appreciate it if you support us on Patreon to get exclusive benefits like bloopers, access to Buttercup's tea room. We are going to have a Discord coming out soon. You will get stickers, random stuff from Juliana, and so much more. We are also donating $1 to charity for each Patreon that we have every single month, so if you want to be part of that, please join us. And the last favor would be to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, so leave us a review and we will read it here. Thank you for listening!